The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I'm delighted to be joined by the son of the late Lord Henryman Charles, custodian of Slane Castle, Alex Cunningham. Alex, you're very welcome to the show. I presume you're here to tell us about Oasis headlining the gig next summer?
That's the one where there's been a whole lot of speculation, you know? And I see the bookies have launched all kinds of odds. All I can say is that they would always be welcome. They did two killer sets at Slane in the past. I mean, I remember when they supported REM, and it was actually a pretty tough act for REM to follow. I think Definitely Maybe was just kind of taking over the world, and they rocked it that day, and then, of course, headline in 2009. No band has ever played Slane three times, so, you know, the door is open, let's put it that way.
How much involvement or input do you guys have in the event itself, or is it that, you know, kind of organizers effectively rent the space for the time
Dad,
they're there?
Geez, like, Dad would put us to work from a young age, you know?
Right.
So even when I was a very kind of early teenager, I was working on the security. And then I think the first job we had, which was good crack, is people would fly in on choppers, be artists or kind of VIPs, and we would greet them and take them down to the backstage area. And they couldn't understand what was going on, because normally there's big security guards, you know, burly, you know, jackets and shades. And
yes,
instead there were these squeaky little kids going, "Hi, welcome to Slane." And they were like, "Who the hell are you guys?" But that was kind of, so yeah, Dad put us to work early, and that's continued.
And so, but then in terms of, say, you know, setting aside Oasis or whatever it happened to be, I mean, have you a say in who plays?
Yeah, the buck always stopped with Dad.
Oh, right, okay.
And weirdly, I guess that now falls on me. But we always did a kind of family consultation, you know. He would always run it by us because I guess we were younger and he wanted to know what we think. But he had a good ear for it.
Did you ever say no to anyone?
We might have done, yeah.
I won't say who it is.
No, of course not. But no, not everyone, it's not just about the commercials, you know, they've got to be something that I think kind of fits in with the ethos and Slane, and that's delivering an amazing experience for people.
How much then of the current business model does that represent, the musical?
For the estate, it is still single most important source of revenue. I mean, if Dad had not done that first gig in 81, I would no longer be living in Slane Castle. You know, they held on by their fingernails, Mum and Dad, but it was the concerts that basically provided the income to keep it going. And, you know, old buildings are beautiful things to live in and lovely to look at, but unfortunately there's a bit more money going out than coming in. That's just the nature of it.
And, like, to what extent is that still a constant struggle?
It goes on. I mean, to this day, we haven't fixed it yet. I mean, I was lucky because I got to work alongside Dad for a long time, and we've both tried many different things on top of the gigs. You know, when you run an estate like Slane, you kind of have to be innovative and entrepreneurial. So you actually end up running a lot of different businesses, whether that's hospitality or gigs or, you know, accommodation and farming. You know, you do it all.
Yeah. And I mean, does there come a point where it gets so exhausting that you would have thought, is this worth it anymore?
So, you know, almost one of the last conversations I had with Dad was, he said, there will be times, Alex, when you feel like you've had enough and you want to throw in the towel. Mm. And I think he got to that point and he said, that is unfortunately precisely the point where you have to dig in and keep going. And I think he came probably quite close to it at times, but he was a very determined individual, and hopefully that's inspired me to, do you know, be the same.
Is that, sorry, I don't mean to have a go, but is that a bit unfair, the pressure it puts on you? You know, would it not have been fairer to say, Alex, this is yours to do what you want with, and if you feel you want to get rid of it, get rid of it?
He would never have held it against me if it ever came to that.
Okay.
So no, I don't. You know, there's a point where you've got to put your family and your own health and everything first. But I believe in our custodial role, and I want to do our best to try and keep it going. But you know, there are certain things you do need to put first, but we'll certainly give it our damnedest to keep it going if we can.
And then in the spirit of that kind of continual process of reinvention, you know, when I know you've a wedding at the weekend you're going to be going to, and before you get married yourself, when you're in that period, maybe after you get engaged, every wedding you go to, you're looking at centerpieces and menus, and you're thinking what you might steal for your own. Are you the same when you go to? I heard you were talking. You were down in Burra's house. The Kavanaghs, you know, at the Festival of Writing and Ideas.
Yeah, wonderful festival.
Are you always looking at things like that when you see how the other old big estates are doing things? I wonder, could we do something like that?
I think collectively there's a lot of innovation in that sector, you know, and the role of the big house in Ireland has thankfully and progressively changed. And there are many festivals held at many of those. And I think they play an important role in the cultural kind of landscape, and Festival Writing Ideas that you mentioned is a fantastic one. Obviously, the picnic is on this weekend down in Stradbally. So we all do our bit to innovate. And I think they provide an amazing setting and sort of backdrop for these cultural events that are very different to doing it in an urban landscape of a stadium, for example.
Yeah. So in that context then, and given the role they play, and we were down in Curramore at All Together Now as well, a little bit earlier in the summer, what place does the old estate, the big house, occupy now in the cultural landscape in Ireland?
I think a place of connection, I would say. So it allows people to come together principally through the events, but a lot of them have incredible natural heritage. It's not just the architectural heritage and the works of art and all of that. You know, a lot of these have really important designed landscapes and parkland. You know, if you look at Slane, the Boyne flows through it. And those landscapes are incredibly important from a biodiversity point of view, from a cultural and design point of view. But it allows people to escape and reconnect with each other and the landscape. And I think, you know, yes, we have our national parks and, of course, you know, places like Phoenix Park. But these are in private ownership. And we at Slane and many other historic house owners recognize that we need to share these places in order to thrive and survive. And that's why I think they're important.
How conscious were you growing up in a house like that of your difference from other people?
Well, I remember being at school a kid, and you know, when you ask people back to the gaff afterwards, and it is a little bit different when you bring people back to a castle. I suppose, being completely honest, I found it a bit awkward initially, but I became more comfortable with it, and I think, you know, mum and dad were helpful in that, so it became normalised. And you know, my kids are living in the castle now, and I think probably go through an element of the same thing. But like, let's face it, it's a fun place to grow up in.
Hide, I'm sure,
and
seek. It is.
Hide and seek is pretty good. But it's, you know, we have a nightclub in the basement, and I was able to, you know, there were a lot of kind of fun days over there. So I think it's an ever-changing landscape.
Yeah.
And although it's a home, it's never entirely private because, you know, we have a great team that work there. We're always running different events, whether it's a gig or it's a wedding or it's a corporate gig or whatever it might be. So it's always busy and there's always stuff going on.
But you've obviously grown to embrace that and grow into that role. But that when you say there was a period of time where you felt it was awkward, was there ever a period of time you resented it? You maybe looked at the other people in the school and thought, you know what, I'd like to just go home to what might be described as a normal house and not have all of the stuff going on all the time.
Yeah, I mean, being honest, yes, I suppose there was a little bit of that when I was a kid, but I kind of got over that. And then, you know, when you are able to ask kind of, you know, friends back, it's a different experience for them. And I guess in time I realized that, you know, you could have fun and play with that.
Yeah.
But I, you know, Dab was always very keen to point out that just because you have, you know, the privilege of living in a castle, that doesn't and shouldn't make you any different. And, you know, and we have to graft like everyone else. And yes, we get to live in it. And I guess that's part of the payoff. But it doesn't come out with, you know, without having to work hard to keep it all going. You know?
Yeah. So how old are your kids now then?
So Lara's our eldest, she's 16, and then Rory is 15 and Casper's 13. So
okay.
Yeah.
So they're still at an age where they'll knock great crack out of
Oh, yeah. Living in an estate. There'd be plenty of teenage parties to go, yeah.
Yeah. And can I ask about Lara? So how is she?
She's good. You know, Lara has, yeah, a mild version of something called Rett syndrome, which is a very rare genetic disorder. So it doesn't come without its challenges, but, you know, I've realized that we're incredibly lucky compared to what some people, you know, have to deal with.
Mm.
Lara can't really communicate, but she can walk and talk. I call her Miss Giggles because she's probably the happiest person I know. She's incredibly affectionate. And, you know, some people, you know, are faced with situations where even the expression of that is limited. So I count ourselves very, very lucky. She's a remarkable little human, but yeah, it has been challenging. And unfortunately, Rett syndrome is a very difficult thing to diagnose. So statistically, there are families out there that don't know what's wrong. It's almost exclusively affects females. So.
Yeah. And as I understand it as well, somebody will maybe develop kind of initially fairly regularly or normally, is
they
that
will,
it?
Yeah.
And then they might have seizures and it kind of sets them back.
Yeah, so like 12 to 18 months up until that period. Like when Lara was little, she could talk, she could hold full sentences and conversation, and then she lost the ability to speak. So that's why it's quite a hard thing to deal, but it's difficult to diagnose for that reason. So it's around 18 months to sort of 2 years is when it starts to emerge. And there's various kind of signs. But if anybody wants to know more, like the Rett syndrome website of Ireland, I think it's rettsyndrome.ie. There's loads of information on that. Mm. And unfortunately, it's just not well enough known about. There's, you know, really important genetic research going on around it. And hopefully in time, you know, they may be able to find ways to reverse it.
Yeah.
You know, we live in hope, but you know, she's a wonderful little girl and we're very lucky to have her. Yeah.
Yeah. And has it, and I'm sure the answer to this is yes, but has it given you an appreciation for the focus that's often put on the lack of services for people with
It is a challenge. It is definitely a challenge. And, you know, that area is always under-resourced. And, you know, government has to pay all its bills, but it's important to support these because it's the toll it takes on the rest of the family. And when I say the toll, you know, from an occupational and the ability to earn for the parents, you know, if you're dealing with that situation, it is restrictive. And that is an income challenge, quite apart from the actual support for the individual. And then once they exit the school system, you know, once they hit 18, then it becomes more challenging again.
Yeah. So listen, before we rock things up then, for the kids, you know, when one of them or all of them are eventually living in the house or around the house as they get older, what do you suspect will be the challenge they will face? Or what's the next kind of great reinvention for the big house in Ireland, given they've kind of gone through this process of continual reinvention?
I think they just need to continue to kind of open and share. And I think that's the way, and you need to be open-minded. I kind of see Slane as a bit of a blank canvas. And when I say share, like we even have people living in the house, you know, you can actually, you can book rooms to stay in the house now as well. That's a new thing. So I was very nervous about how the kids and the dogs were going to cope with that, but everyone seems to be managing all right. And
yes.
I guess. But I think Slane will continue to extend its cultural realm. We are known for music, and that's not going to stop, but I want to see us move into other areas as well. And I hope long after I'm gone and even the next generation, Slane will continue to be a place where the custodians lead it, being the family, but it is very much open and shared with others.
If the concerts really and in the public's consciousness are your dad's big legacy...
Yeah.
What would you like yours to be? Seems not fair to be asking a young man what he hopes his legacy is going to be.
No, not at all. I mean, I think the gigs will continue.
Yeah.
I think live music is evolving. So I don't want to stop that. In fact, I want to lean in and keep doing more gigs. But I would like us to maybe move beyond just doing the big gig, and we might do some other events, basically embracing other forms of culture. And that's why we started Kyme. You know, so my legacy, I think, will be... Slane might, you know, if it can end up being a cultural beacon of sorts that supports other art forms and a love of nature, then I'd be happy with that.
Alex, listen, thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.